Experience the excitement of Houston Astros playoff baseball right here on ESPN Houston. Game 2 against the Chicago White Sox starts today at 1. Now back to the bench. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Thanks for the promo, Tommy Stark. College football expert Dale Orale. Orale. He's got a sombrero and
a mustache.
Handlebar mustache.
Dale Orale.
Orale. He'll be joining us. So we got Astros baseball to talk now because the Astros are 1-0 in the postseason with the win yesterday. What a great win. What a great time had by all.
Playoff baseball is just the best. It's so much fun. And you know what's really fun? What was really fun yesterday is you and I talked about who are the guys. Actually, the caller brought it up. Who are the guys that are feeling the most, who might be feeling the most heat or who need to step up? And one of the guys, Bregman, came to mind because he had an off time last year. But what about Yordan Alvarez? Yordan Alvarez is a guy who didn't play last year after he hurt his knees, so he only played in that one game. And then in 19, despite winning Rookie of the Year, he just kind of had hit the wall by the end of the year, and he wasn't a factor. Dusty Baker talked about it yesterday, and, well, let's just say that wasn't a factor yesterday.
You know, nobody is going to give you any sympathy for a player that's hurt, especially a key player like that. And, you know, he is in the middle of our lineup. We don't know when he's going to leave the yard. And, you know, he's going to drive in some big runs. And so, life wasn't too pleasant last year without Yordan. I didn't even really know what I had. I think he came back for two games. And the one game, first at bat, he hit a homer. And I was envisioning what it was going to be like to have him back. And then he got hurt and was out the rest of the year. So I'm very thankful to have him back.
Yeah, you know, double, I would imagine.
First AB doubles off the left center fence. Second one, I think it was a walk. Third one, he goes yard to right center field. I mean, having real Yordan in the lineup is just so much different. Mm-hmm. It's just so much different knowing the big he is, and he comes up with his tipping on faux foes up to the plate. I don't know if that was his choice or not, but it makes sense. He's number 44. And to see him bomb one and almost two out of the ballpark, just imagine what it's like when you're a pitcher and you see Yordan get into the box. And you know at any time he can just put you on a high – he can put you on a baseball poster.
Well, yeah.
If there is such a thing.
Well, he could put you on the team on his back, though. I mean, that's what that dude can do. And he did. Wow. I'm telling you, when you're going through this lineup, you're like, oh, good. Altuve, Brantley, Bregman, Alvarez, then Gurriel, then holy crap. I don't know if you – did you get to see the second game? Did you watch any of the Rays?
I watched I saw – what's going to be the nickname for Rosarena? Somebody said something – I was seeing something on Twitter after his home run where somebody said something about – you can read his lips right now. He's basically saying – I think it was Ben Verlander said this – said, I own this month. Like, I own October.
I'm
not arguing that Mr. October label either.
No, he is something. And then, my goodness, they're up 4-0. And listen to this. This is unbelievable.
Taylor leans all the way in, making a 90-degree angle. A Rays runner heads for home. The throw, he has stolen home, and it's 5-0 Rays. Randy Rosarena not only has homered, but he has stolen home. And the Rays lead by a handful. Señor October.
Señor October.
He said October, didn't he?
Octubre. It's Octubre.
Yeah, but he's... Yeah. He doesn't know. He's from Tampa. No one speaks Spanish in Tampa.
I mean, you got a Rosarena
except
and
a lot
then
of people.
Franco back-to-back. I mean, it is...
So? We got savages in the box.
No, I know.
There's savages. There's savages in there. These are savages. Tighten your... up.
And then,
oh, wait. The Yankees are out again. God dang it. I was hoping the Yankees would be in the playoffs, but
they got eliminated. No. And then Lau, and then Cruz.
I don't care.
Steroid guy.
So...
No, Nelson Cruz is a steroid guy. I'm sorry. There's nothing we can do about
it. Listen, so?
Yeah.
You think their line is better than ours?
No, but I don't like it one bit. So? I don't like Rosarena. Do you? So? How do you like a Rosarena?
I don't care about
you
them.
Like him? You like no. you? Yeah, you want some of that?
No, mm-hmm. I don't. Mm-hmm. You like Yordan? You want some of that?
I don't want any of that. Yeah, I want all of that.
Do they want? Do they want some of Yordan?
No, they don't.
Maybe they're sitting there going, "Oh my God,
can't wait.
We got to face the Yordan guy we didn't have to face last year."
We probably should finish this series before we go move on.
Yeah,
to that
I think so. Lance, number 20, Lance McCullers. So we had what I think to be a legitimate discussion about whether or not the Astros are built for the playoffs. We know they're built for the 162, the depth of the pitching staff, especially starters. But the question was, do they have a true number one ace? Do they have a true number one ace? And if yesterday's performance was any indicator, they absolutely do. And Lance McCullers, said ace, talked about the importance of that game one starter.
You get the ball in game one, and you know your team is expecting this from you. They're expecting you to come out, have energy, attack the zone, give them a chance to win.
Yeah. That's it. Attack the zone, give him a chance to win, and that's exactly what he did. He was pinpoint too, though. I mean, in the selection, some of the pitches, I was like, wow. He threw a curveball on a 3-2 count that was just barely fouled off. I was like, wow, that was ballsy. That was a little ballsy to throw that pitch there. And he was humping it up. He got it up to 95, 93 consistently, up to 95. He had it all. He had it all going on. That's a legitimate question. I mean, we've asked it time and time again. Do you want to use that Correa money, that Verlander money, and Greinke money that's going to come off the books? Do you want to use that for a starting pitching or pay Correa, or how are you going to
pay Correa? He's already got his thank you and goodbye shirts on. Out of respect, now he's very respectful. I think Carlos is enjoying the moment. Carlos right now, unfortunately, is living in the moment. And I know some people are saying, I'm getting sick and tired of seeing Carlos. I think Carlos is soaking it all in and is very aware of the moment. And I think that's what he's doing. And I think the fans are too, because there is a realization. So please stop saying paying Correa, because we know that's not even an option.
Well,
so
you don't even need to say Jim Crane said it. He said, we're going to make him an offer. He said yesterday, we're going to make him an offer. We're going after him.
You know who else made an offer? Drayton to Carlos. To Daryl Kyle.
And Daryl
Kyle. Well... 3 minutes before
after they already
three
signed.
Minutes before he signed the actual contract.
I think
with
Beltran
Penn.
Was actually after he signed with the Mets. I know. He goes, oh, hey,
hold on! Before you sign anything, can we offer you $6 million less a year? Is that something you'd be interested in? No. Well, we gave it a shot.
Well, no, Drayton said, well, we offered him $100. We offered him $100.
We came in hot. Ray said no.
Well, I mean. Jim Crane's not going to Drayton it. It is nice to have an owner that's not such a huckster.
No.
But
And can we stop? I mean, people talking about Jim Crane being cheap. That cannot be further from the truth.
But you're going to get
the
that a lot if guys
keep
leaving.
Payroll in the and you're talking about him being cheap? He has done everything from bringing Greinke in to Verlander in to paying Brantley to I mean, you got to be kidding me that he is cheap. He actually, I think, he uses that analytics thing where he breaks down the cost analysis and where do you want to allocate your dollars, and yet stayed under the – and it's a kind of a big deal. Again, qualifying offer for Justin Verlander and qualifying offer for Carlos Correa, you're going to get second – right after the second round, you're going to get draft picks. If you went over the cap, over the luxury cap tax – you would have been a fourth rounders. So it was, and you would have, and actually had to pay more money as well. So it has behooved this team to actually be underneath the cap. The two teams that are over this year are the Nationals and the Red Sox. How'd that work out for the Nationals spending all that? And then just a fire sale at the trade deadline.
Well, but it doesn't mean that, but it just because you spend the money doesn't mean you're going to be bad or doesn't mean anything like the Astros, I think a lot of Astros fans will say, okay, well, when guys come off the book, when two pitchers are coming off the book in Greinke and Verlander, why don't you take some of
that
money
to,
and
well, you
pay
have to
Carlos.
Decide where you're going to spend it.
I understand. And I'm saying that's a concern for me because it sets a new precedent for amount of money you have to pay other guys. Like every decision
Absolutely.
Creates. So I think the smart move is probably letting him walk, especially with the amount of time. If it were a 6-year deal, let's go 7. I would consider 7 too. 8 gets to be a lot. Carlos is going to want 10. He's going to want the number to get to $300 million. Everything you mentioned is accurate. I do think, though, that Jim Crane moving forward, the one problem he is going to potentially have from a PR standpoint is okay, Keuchel going, that was understandable and the right move. Charlie Morton, they just kind of missed on him. George Springer, that one hurts, but it was certainly understandable. But everyone had been geared up through Sports Talk Radio. Who are you going to get? Springer? Who are we going now? Springer or Carlos? Who are you going to pay? Well, we didn't expect the answer to be none of the above. And so that will hurt a little bit. But then when money comes off the books and people see it come off the books and they say, wait a minute, why aren't you spending every single one of the $60+ million that you're recouping? There are going to be people who say that.
So when he was talking to Mark Berman yesterday about retaining Correa, the thing that stuck was the last, like, I don't know, 5-6 seconds of his speech.
Okay. Well, you know, I think we have a chance. It just depends on where we end up with that and, you know, what Carlos wants to do. And, you know, certainly dollars are a factor.
Yeah. I mean, dollars are the whole factor.
That didn't sound very confident.
Carlos wants to be here.
That didn't sound confident.
They're going to make him a qualifying offer. And then he said, we're going to negotiate with him. We're going to try to sign him. Here's the deal, though. Let me ask you this question. Wouldn't you like – now, we never talk about Alex Bregman. You know what the Astros did? They said, look, we're going to give you 5 years, $100 million. We want you to be happy. We know you're a young player. They didn't have to do that, but they decided, you know what? Let's do that for Alex Bregman because he's a cornerstone here. We're going to have him here forever. He's got 3 years left on this deal. It's going to start to get up to $30 million at the end of this contract, which is going to be – there's some cost. Wouldn't you like to do that with Yordan as well? Wouldn't you like it so that Yordan isn't playing for $600,000 a year, that Yordan feels really good about the organization? Do we even think that there's a chance that Alex Bregman will leave? No, because the Astros have taken care of him through times when they didn't even have to. So wouldn't that be nice to do that with Yordan as well? That dude is worth a $20 million. He's worth $100 million over 5 years. He's definitely worth that. I would love for Yordan to feel great about this organization and stay here for the long haul. Bregman's got 3 years left on this deal, on his deal. You feel like Bregman is going to be a lifer because it's an era of good feeling with him because they took care of him when they didn't have to. So you would also like to see that. Now you're talking about that much more money on your – everybody thinks, well, Verlander, it just frees up and there's nothing else that you have to spend money on. You're freeing up all that Verlander money and all that Greinke money. Guess what? It gets gobbled up in a hurry.
No, it does. I mean, salaries go up. And
yeah.
So, yeah, and then you have, as you mentioned, that's the way that it's not as easy as all the salaries stay static. Everything's fluid. And when you have arbitration, you know, Fromber's going to start making money.
Yeah,
Fromber's And that's why you have to think 2 and 3 years out. I'm just telling you, Jim Crane is going to face, unless they continue to keep winning like they are now, he will start to face some backlash unless fans think. I'm not trying to judge it. I don't want to screw your pizza stuff up. But Holden thinks you got a pizza last night from Jim Crane. I can confirm it didn't come to the seat. There was no pizzas at the seat. It didn't come to the seat. By the way, John's wife yesterday, she pummeled you. I don't even think she cared about all the Astros gear you bought. I think she just wanted to hit you on the credit card. She told me, she was telling my wife, yeah, look what we did. We kicked his ass. Look at these bags of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know what we did? I told John Tyler, watch this. When we were checking out, because John was buying it. We checked out. He said, watch his face. Watch his face when the check comes up.
When the bill comes.
That's not a fun game.
No.
That's not a funny thing for a wife to do to a husband is hit him with about $500 of merch in the shed.
Yeah.
That's a game. Like, watch this.
No. But
get the picture.
I
make him go viral.
I get her back. Hey, rich girl, open up your wallet. Let's go. Move it.
Well,
let's
tell me how, because you say that, but I just watched her with her two bags.
She got me, and I had my mouth open.
It's like she was Michigan Avenue with her bags.
She got me.
She did get you.
She got me, and I had my mouth open. 814 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here. Right now, though, it's Friday. John Clay Wolf is tomorrow. John Clay Wolf, you can hear him right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, the longest running show in the history of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's the John Clay Wolf Show Saturdays. It's different. It is something. It's interesting. You will go, wow, I can't believe he just said that. Of course, if you've heard John Clay Wolf on this show, you say, wow, I can't believe he just said that either. So anywhere John Clay Wolf is, you pretty much go, I can't believe he just said that. But that is going to happen tomorrow morning. So if you want to, it's a great listen. And if you want to sell your car to him, that's even better. I can't believe he just offered me that. That's what I said when he offered me the money that he offered me for Frankie's car, which he was using as a bumper car, okay, and just hitting anything in sight. She didn't care. And you know what? At the time, John Clay Wolf didn't care either. He's going to give me the most money for my car. And so guess what? I said, sold. You take it. Here, hurry up. Give me that money. All you got to do is go to GiveMeTheVin.com. That's GiveMeTheVin.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again.
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8 sacks. Felt like more. Their quarterback's one of the toughest quarterbacks that I've ever competed against. You see that on video. You saw it last year when we played against them. He's beat up. They do quarterback run game with him. He gets hit. He got out of like probably 6 or 8 more sacks that could have happened. He's a heck of a ball player, man. That's kind of what we're becoming known for. I see it in practice all the time. These guys keep getting better. I think the coverage aspect of it helps too. I mean, we got really good cover guys. Coach Belk's doing a great job with those guys, getting them in long yardage situations, and then our guys can just pin their ears back and go. So it's fun to watch.
Cougs win at 40-22. That was a good game. Well, as I mentioned, we went over to Damaris and watched that, along with the NFL game, along with the soccer, with the baseball.
Big just game fun. Changer. Big game changer when they got that fumble in the third quarter.
Oh, yeah.
That was huge. It was Tulane had the ball. It was 22-17 at that time. And
Jones
create a fumble, recover fumble, and then the game went completely the other way after that. I mean, that was huge. They never scored another.
No.
They never scored another point. It was 23-0 after that.
Listen, Toon is playing better. There's no question about that. 23 of 36, 288 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. A decent. He played good. He made his mistakes. He missed some passes that he maybe shouldn't have, but he played well enough. It's the defense that's carrying him right now. They're 5-1. And, okay, that's okay. You know what? They lost this game a couple of years ago at Tulane with the Eric King. And, you know what they're doing now? They're winning these games.
Just beat the teams in front of you, and then, you know, when you face up against the Cincinnati's, that's when you get the chin check. So, good win for the Cougs, midweek. I mean, they have a Friday game followed by a Thursday game, so they're on a short week. That's both games on the road. That's good. That's good. That's good to win that. One they were a dog, one they were a favorite. My wife, I was just talking to her, and she said, "Hey, what's the deal with all the sound bites?" And I said, "Well, we didn't used to have that many sound bites, but we got some." She goes, "Do people care?" I said, "Well, yeah. If Lance McCullers is talking about," she goes, "I don't." I said, "Well, you don't like it? I don't care about it." So let's hear from Lance Lynn. Talking about how good the Astros.
Wait a minute. She doesn't like it, and you're going to do it. But shouldn't you listen to your wife? And when she says, "Hey, why are you doing that? I don't like it."
Here's Lance Lynn talking about how dangerous the Astros lineup is because my wife's not the boss of me.
They're just deep. They battle. They don't strike out. They pick and choose times when they want to be aggressive. That's why they've had the success they've had in recent years. From top to bottom, they don't make it easy on you.
No, not from top to bottom. I mean, if I'm a pitcher, I'm like, what? This guy's up again?
I told my wife, I said, I like this sound. I like this sound. These are guys who, especially now that we're in playoff.
Yeah.
Do I want a random?
These are the guys that are making the news.
Tuesday afternoon, Davis Mills. I mean,
no.
That's not moving any needles. Yeah, Lance Lynn is a very good pitcher who's talking about how good the Astros lineup is. Yeah, That's a big deal. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of good sound bites today. It helps the Astros win. Makes the sound bites even better to me.
Yeah. Tony La Russa, number 16, he didn't want
to
talk.
Nicole, listen to this. You're not going to believe what Tony La Russa is
here's
about
what Tony La Russa has to
listen
say.
Listen to Tony.
Over the years, you agree or disagree, I like talking about our club, and they can talk about theirs. They know him better. The numbers speak for themselves. We didn't do much with him. But as far as giving us kind of in-depth why we didn't, it just doesn't work too well. Just recognize what he did. He pitched very well.
Salty-ass old dude. Keep talking like
recognize,
that.
Recognize.
Keep talking like that and watch what Papa Dusty does again to you. You saw what he did when he was in the dugout screaming at you. You didn't want it with Papa Dusty then when you were a Cardinal and he was a Cub, and you don't want it now. How about that trivia question at the game yesterday? How many division titles has Dusty Baker led his teams to? I mean, how many teams? Five teams.
Division titles. Five
obviously,
different teams.
Three as a manager, right?
No, five as a manager. Yeah, that was the
what?
Question. How many teams did he lead? No, as a manager.
Well, it could also be. Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because that could also be.
No, that's what.
Because that could also
that was the
be
question.
As a
how many teams did he lead to division titles? The Giants, the Cubs, the Reds, the Nationals, and the
did
Astros.
He wanted, yeah, Giants, Cubs. Oh, my God. I forgot about the Reds.
Yeah.
I forgot about the Reds, and I forgot about the Nationals. He won division with the Nationals?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, because
holy crap.
Yeah, Dusty is pretty
Papa, damn. Has anyone been involved with more baseball games? Well, I guess like Casey Stengel or whatever, but modern day, has anyone been involved
How
with
long
more
Casey
baseball
Stengel
games?
With he was 49 years?
He was like 49 years with a team. And where they played triple headers and double headers in the snow and whatnot. But has anyone been involved with more baseball games ever?
No, Paul
than Dusty?
No, he's the best.
I mean,
you know, and
as a
by
player,
the way,
as
the
a
rumor
manager,
is Dusty's coming back next year.
Yeah, he is.
He is.
He's coming back.
Yeah, Dusty's
that's
coming
already,
back.
That's already. Yeah. They haven't announced it, but I was told that yesterday that Dusty
how about
is coming
this?
Back.
What about this?
Oh, look, we got to get to a break.
Oh, how's the Greek
fest?
Oh,
look, we got to get to a break because the Greek fest is here.
How about this? The Greek fest at Annunciacion, okay? It's on Yoakum. And they got the big Greek fest
you
going. How was
like
it last night?
Spanish.
Was it good, Gus? It was good. It was a lot of Astro people, yeah, after the game. This is a great place to go. You guys are going to be open. What time is it open? 11. So 1 o'clock game, after the game, head straight over there. It's not far, actually. Well, anybody with a ticket stub gets in free. How about that? Yeah, in the phone.
Digital tickets.
Yeah, digital tickets. So there you go. Why'd you beat the kid? Why's he got a cast on?
What the hell? Stop. He was playing football.
Hey, did he get a fresh one? Hey.
Like a real man.
Hey, you'll listen next time, won't you? That's right. Okay. 826 ESPN. That's the Greek Fest, which is going on. Opens at 11. Go there for lunch.
The food's
or go there after
phenomenal.
After the Astros, whatever the case may be. Open all night. It's a great time had by all. It is at Yoakum and 3511 Yoakum Boulevard. It's the oldest and the best of the Greek festival, so it is awesome. It's right there in the Montrose area, near the museum district. So, yeah, we love it. We're going to be out there. You know what? After the game, we'll stop by. We'll stop by and see you. So, if you're looking for something to do today, how about getting over to the Greek Fest? That's good stuff. It's 827 ESPN 97.5. Coming up next, Rod Baber is going to join us. We're going to talk about that UT-Oklahoma game.
Right. Yeah, we've had enough Oklahoma people on this week.
Yeah, I've been a lot of Oklahoma people.
Let's talk about it.
Nicole and I were talking,
John.
She said, you've got to get
Oklahoma John with his red shirt on today, a little bit excessive.
That's University of Houston.
Well,
that is crimson.
It could be used also.
University of Houston. No, not Oklahoma.
As a Sooner thing.
No, Scarlet. No. You're a little disrespectful yourself. It's 827. Rod Baber's next. Don't go anywhere.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We've had the Oklahoma perspective. Let's get the Texas, the UT perspective. Rod Babers, former UT cornerback, host of RBKD on 104.9 The Horn in Austin, still dejected and heartbroken over us taking Brad Kellner away from him. So sorry, you lose on that one, Rod. We win.
Oh, no doubt, man. You guys picked up a really talented one. The truth is, though, you guys have seen really talented people come in and out of this industry. Some guys, you see them and you know instantly, okay, he's meant for the big time. And we all knew once we met my man DK that he wasn't going to be an Austin Long. Not that Austin small time or anything, but we are a pro sports town officially now with the Austin FC. But he needs to be in a big time market like H-Town, man. You guys got a great one, works hard. He's got so many damn skills, I can't list them all. So I'm happy for him, happy for y'all. And y'all do great work anyway, man. Y'all are building a hell of a team over there.
Well, we took A.J. Hoffman from Austin, too. You were probably happy about that,
this is a foreign league here. I mean, it's like a little developmental league.
I've done some radio with Rod as, like, a football analyst when Rod's been on the radio a little bit now down there. And I used to be on with Craig Way all the time, like every week during football season. But I think, and this is when Mac was still there. I think at some point somebody put the kibosh, like, I know Mac didn't love when I did my Mac Brown imitation.
No.
I know he didn't like when I did Mac on a mobile. I know that for a fact, Rod.
No, he didn't think it was funny.
But Mac Brown's got to quit being so thin-skinned. He can't be so sensitive about everything he hears. And, so I think I kind of got shut down. I don't know that for a fact, but all of a sudden I stopped getting phone calls. I'm like, I think something – it says home of the horn, Longhorn, so there might be – I know he already got Jeff Ketchum put off the air and Chip Brown, but anyway.
And the crazy thing is everybody's got a Mac Brown impersonation. Right. Everybody does. Come on, guys. Let's get it going. Wipe the sugar off your back. Let's get it going. Let's get focused. Everybody's got a Mac Brown impersonation.
What was it like playing for Mac?
When did I play for him?
No, what was it like when you played for him?
I love Mac. Me and Mac had our professional disagreements once I got into sports radio because
to the club.
When they played bad, I had to keep it real. But
yep.
Mac brought me to Texas. I would not be at Texas if not for Mac Brown. Honestly, I was leaning more toward the Aggies. I loved R.C. Slocum, actually. R.C. Slocum, when he was recruiting me, he told me something that blew my mind. He said, hey, do you want your parents to go to the game? And I was like, of course I want my parents to go to the game. He said, well, you need to play football in the state of Texas so mom and dad can go to all the games. That you go out of state, mom and dad only going to 2 or 3 games a year. That blew my mind. I told Notre Dame, Florida State, Colorado. I told them, no, mom and dad need to go to games. I'm staying in Texas. And then Mac Brown came in there, sat on my mama's couch, drank her sweet tea, charmed her to death, and that was pretty much it. I was going to Texas. And Mac told me I was going to graduate from Texas, and I'll be damned even 5 or 6 years after I got done with the league. I went back there, and I talked to Mac. Mac said, you need to get your degree. He enrolled me back in Texas. Like the day I went to go visit him so that I could get my degree. So even though me and Mac had a little falling off, I saw him recently. We hugged it out. I love Mac.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. I want to ask you a tough question, Rod, and I want you to be as honest as you can because you're in a very specific spot here that I think I can ask this question. You were there for a lot of the good times. You were there for Mac, the quick run-through with Charlie Strong, with Tom Herman, and then, of course, now with Steve Sarkisian. You know, I want to ask you, does University of Texas, do you believe, because I've heard this from other people, do you believe that University of Texas has had a quote-unquote culture problem inside the building, inside the program, you know, over the last 15 years? Is that what's keeping the program from reaching the heights that people think it should?
There is something to that, yes, that there's a toxicity, right, that existed. And I think most of it started at the top. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I think it started behind the scenes and behind the burnt orange curtain with the leadership. We had a lot of turnover and change in leadership in terms of athletic directors, presidents, and there wasn't always united support for those coaches. We're talking about Charlie. I think Tom Herman had united support, but there was still a lot of turnover, even on the background with Tom Herman. Right now with Kevin Eltife, and with Jay Hartzell and Chris Del Conte, there's finally that holy trinity that is united with one vision. And I think that's going to help the coaches they're bringing in now, like Chris Beard with Texas basketball, with Texas football, of course, with CBC. They're united behind him. That's going to help him. He needs that support. So I agree with you. There's a little bit of a toxicity. There's an entitlement problem. When the players come to Texas, oftentimes they feel like they made it. instead of, you know, trying their best and actually striving to improve the program, to get it back to a standard, and also for them to fulfill their goals as NFL players. So there is some entitlement there, too. I don't know exactly how you solve it, but I think they're doing it a step-by-step process. It's going to be baby steps, guys, because Texas is 10 years deep in this hole.
That's keeping it real for you. Yeah. Rod, that's an honest. And you know what? I do think there has been an issue beyond just locker room or whatever. I do think at the top, there's so many money people who want to say, and I thought the stuff that happened with Charlie Strong, some of the stuff that people came out and said after the hiring to me, I'm like, where else would you ever see that?
Never.
Where the people would come out and make public comments about, well, this guy's probably a better defensive coordinator, regardless of what you think about him. Yeah. Who would ever say that about a brand new head coach?
No, and it undermines the program as well. How is it different? How you see any difference now under Sarkisian?
I do. And like I said, I think it's the united group, and I'll give Chris Del Conte credit. He's been awesome. And I'll give Kevin Elsie credit and give Jay Harsel, the new president, credit. They just seem to be united. That's, you know, the SEC move, right? This new think tank. They're united to the point where they can make a calculated move like that and then do it with their rival, Oklahoma. That takes vision. This is something that, you know, the Lost Dodds had when he was at Texas. Him and Chris Plonsky, they had a united vision. That's why they were able to pull off, you know, the Longhorn Network. That was kind of their long-term goal. I don't know if it worked out the way they thought, but that was their long-term goal they got accomplished. That's what this group is, and I think that's why that unanimity behind the scenes, I think it's so important, because now you got a long-term vision for the program, and right now it's playing in the SEC. They're not ready for that necessarily, but I think they're revving up to it.
You've seen some good running backs in University of Texas over the years. How do you rank Bijan Robinson, and just give me a feel for what your thoughts as a player are when you watch him tote the rock?
Yeah, guys, you should hear the comparisons. You know, the NFL comparisons people are making to Bijan, because they've been all over the place. I've heard, you know, Emmitt Smith and Willis McGahee. I've heard Barry Sanders recently. We've heard all types of comparisons. And the truth is, so Ricky compared to him to himself, actually, called him Little Ricky. So it's a lot. He's really talented. I mean, he's got 51 forced missed tackles so far this year. If I'm Oklahoma, that would be my biggest concern. Oklahoma's got double-digit missed tackles in four of their five games so far this year. He can break tackles. He's got this ability to use contact to balance himself. It is freaky and weird. You guys have probably watched him. And, you know, I think one of the things that really, really sets Bijan apart, and I think it's one of those things that I think it's really valuable these days in the modern NFL, the modern football. As a receiver, he may be Texas's best receiver, too. They put him in the slot. You should watch him run routes. I mean, he actually is an effective route runner. He's not just out there as a pass catcher. So I think Texas is probably going to use him just like K-State used Deuce Vaughn last week against Oklahoma, who had 10 receptions. They held him, I think, to 50-something yards on the ground. He had 10 receptions running slant route, running the out route, the quick game. And Bijan Robinson can do that, too. So I start using him in another way. Gave him 35 rushes versus TCU, gentlemen. And I got to tell you, they don't win that game if he gets 31 rushes or 32. He needed 35. And how about this, guys? In the fourth quarter of that TCU game, this is how much Sark was depending on Bijan and nothing else working. That was a 3rd and 9. He handed it off to Bijan, and he got the first down. To seal the game, it was a 3rd and 6. He handed it off to Bijan, and he got the first down. It was a 3rd and long, and he wasn't doing that to wave the white flag or give up on the play. He believed the best chance he had to get the first down was Bijan Robinson, and he was right both times.
Rod Babers with us here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, talking University of Texas football this weekend, Saturday, or tomorrow, 11 o'clock game against OU. You know, Rod, here's the thing about this game. It seems like the team that isn't playing as well, usually Texas isn't playing as well, and yet they step up in this football game. I think Texas is playing better than OU is right now. That might be a little bit dangerous here.
I totally agree with you. And I hate to think that way, because I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and I said, if you don't look at the film, the totality of the sample we have now, Texas has played better opponents and has played better versus better opponents. And Oklahoma has actually played some subpar football versus some opponents that I think are not as talented and not as good as Texas's opponents recently. So, yeah, I hate to play that game, but I am with you. That's why I'm leaning Texas in this matchup. Casey, there are two things that worry me. Casey Thompson didn't have a great game versus TCU. We know Gary Patterson can dial up some really exotic looks and some really exotic fronts. He confused Casey a little bit. He made some plays down the stretch, but he can't connect on the deep ball yet, guys. He's 3 of 15 so far this season on passes 20 yards or more down the field. They got to get better at connecting on a deep ball. That's a big element of Sark's offense, and it opens up room for Bijan Robinson. So that would be a concern, but I'm with you. I think Texas have a really good chance to win this game, and right now I'm leaning Texas. The big issue for Texas guys would be their offensive line. They had a season-ending injury to the left guard, so they moved Derek Kirsten to the right tackle. Two left guards put Andre Carrick in the starting lineup there at the right tackle, going up against one of the best defensive fronts in the country at creating pressure. Nick Benito, Isaiah Thomas, Perrion Renfrey, that is the matchup to watch. If Texas can control the line of scrimmage and they're not allowing the pocket to be collapsed routinely, and Texas has a shot to win this thing.
That's Rod Babers. We'll see. It's tomorrow, 11 o'clock. It's always a big one. It's always fun to watch. So, hey, Rod, we appreciate it. Thanks for hanging. It's great to get this perspective. And have fun. Have fun in Dallas.
Oh, I will, fellas. The most wonderful time of the year. And you guys keep up the great work. Anytime you guys need anything, just holler at me.
Appreciate it. That's Rod Babers right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And right now, I want to tell you about my friends over at Allstate Siding and Windows. You can go to the website and see for yourself the work that they do. It's fantastic work. But the other thing is, at AllstateSidingAndWindows.com, you are going to get a company whose name really means a lot to them. It's a family name. It's a family tradition. It's over 48 years they've been together. And it's been inside the family. And I mean, we're talking about a lot of people with this family are working inside the business. And so they want to make sure that not only the quality of product is well above standards, which you're going to find it is with these double strength windows that can handle, withstand 130 miles an hour wind. That's just the standard windows. They've got even stronger windows than that. The siding that is going to add not just beauty, but it's incredibly durable, withstands the inclement weather we have here in Houston, the extreme weather. You're going to find a company that stands by the installations they do and the work that they do, and you are going to see lower energy bills. You're going to see a better looking home, and you're going to get a product that is absolutely to your, not just liking, you're loving with Allstate Siding and Windows.com. Get a price quote right now online with their inquiry form. It's very quick. Allstate Siding and Windows.com, or go to 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936, Allstate Siding and Windows.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
No sleep till!
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. That's an interesting question. Lance just asked, how many wins do you think Dana gets this year? I think they could. They're 5-1 right now. They got ECU. I think that's a win. SMU is the game of the year. They got a week off now. They're out recruiting. I just texted Dana to come on the show, and he said I'm out recruiting right now. I'll try to afterwards. We got Allison Footer coming up in 12 minutes. We've got Del Aorale. He's going to join us at quarter after. Jeff Bagwell at the bottom of the hour. So we got all that going on. We've got at USF, who's not as good, at Temple. They can win that game. Memphis at home, they win that game. At Connecticut, this could be a 9-10 win season. I think the
Connecticut stinks. That should be a W.
Who?
UConn.
Yeah, UConn's bad. They're a favorite this week, though. Which I was like,
who are they playing?
Mass? UMass?
Well, football in the Northeast isn't too good right now.
Name a good team. Well, Boston College had a good win and one win. But other than that, there's really nothing up there. I told you, when we went up to Army to watch Jake Rice play up there, trying to find a bar that had college football on was impossible. It was tennis. I was like,
doesn't matter.
Other people are watching.
College football doesn't matter in the Northeast.
It does not.
It's really like regular season college basketball here.
Yeah.
Well, why do you guys not have Pitt Clemson on? Why would we have Pitt Clemson on?
Yeah. No,
where's
no.
the where's the Duke Louisville game? I don't know. We would have been watching it like 15, 20 years ago, now.
I'm sure AJ's watching it or something.
Yeah, AJ's that's probably enough. In Vegas watching
that's
it.
That's
why
enough.
Why don't you call him?
That's enough. Yeah.
You guys don't have the A&M game? They're like this. Why? Why are we going to put the A&M game on? Why are we going to do that? We got a Yankees show. John Boy's going to be doing a special feature from this bar on 7th Street. John Boy Media is going to be there talking about how much the Red Sox suck. Oh, that's all he's doing is bashing the Red Sox. He's Mr. Tampa Bay Rain. He has to live vicariously through the Rays. How sad is that? A Yankees guy.
Well, they do have spring training down there in Tampa, so.
He has to live vicariously through the Rays.
I know.
Ha-ha! Look at the Rosarena! You suck at Red Sox! Like, come on. Just listen. Stop. And I noticed he hasn't been. Somebody must have told him, keep the Astros name out your mouth, because the Astros name aren't in his tweets, his mouth, anything. It's like the Astros don't exist for him, because I think that's an uncomfortable truth for him. Here they are. Here's Jordan hitting home runs. There's Lance McCullers, the one hitting everybody.
Well, it's the same old Astros and the same old Yankees.
John Boyd, what did he think about the Astros win yesterday?
Wouldn't know.
But he wrote a bunch about it.
He just wouldn't know. He keeps their name out of his way. Yeah, wouldn't know.
Just non-stop.
I don't know. He doesn't say anything. It's like they didn't play.
So, Giolito today. Last time Giolito faced the Astros, it wasn't good. It didn't go well for the Astros. This is a different team, however, on the road. The Astros swept them here. They went to Chicago, and the White Sox took 2 out of 3. Giolito looked really good, and Rodon looked really good. So, that... You know what? Back in Chicago, it's going to be tough. I like that. I really like this. Fromber going tonight, today at 1 o'clock. Yeah, because the Astros get the 1 o'clock game. Because the Brewers Braves game is so much more important at 3 o'clock. What a joke that the Astros get the 1 o'clock game. But neither here nor there. Yeah, you can listen to it if you're at work and you can't go. You can listen to it right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tickets are still available. Go to Simple Seats. And pick up your
tickets. Hey, hit people with your JV. I've got a follow-up. Hit people with your Justin Verlander tweet from yesterday. There's going to be a lot of people who have not seen this or heard this. And I think it's interesting, basically, because to me, this means for sure Verlander's not going to be an Astro next year.
I tweeted this out after the game. Justin Verlander was supposed to throw out the first pitch with Mattress Mack, but the players went to Crane and told him they didn't want him to because he hasn't been there all year. No reason to spotlight him now. It's basically the players saying, you know, it's a big middle finger because Justin Verlander's been giving them a big middle finger all year. You know what? We've been here. We've worked our ass off. We're the ones that have won the West. We're the ones that are in the playoffs. We with our hard work. While Justin Verlander hasn't even shown up.
People who think. He's just saying, why would a team? Well, Scott asked this question. He said, I just don't see a team this close who most have played and won a championship with going to management and saying they don't want JV to throw the first pitch in front of a crowd that would go nuts to see him on the mound. I said, so a team first team of players who came up together through the minors and went to war with each other dating back to 2015 playoffs would never be upset with a player who hasn't shown up at all at the team
for a couple years now,
all season. Well, I gave a pass last year because it was COVID.
Yeah,
but we'll show up for a first pitch on national TV. Okay, he said, were they this pissed that Lance wasn't there? I mean, don't answer yet. Hang on, let me finish this. Were they this pissed that Lance McCullers wasn't there? I mean, the guy has been recovering from Tommy John surgery. Recovering, I think. Remember he had that surgery in October of 2020, but he still. It's like he's in a cast, I think, right now. We're still recovering. It takes like a year and a half in a cast where you're not allowed to fly either. You're not allowed to do anything because of the Tommy John. Did he get a pass for not being at the facility?
Well, we saw Justin Verlander thrown about a couple months ago.
I know. Recovering.
Yeah.
Just seems out of character for these guys to be anything but open, especially to JV. Lance McCullers was part of the team.
Yeah.
Tyler Glasnow, Tommy John surgery, part of the team. That's the point, Scott. The point is that you can still be part of the team. I'll say this. The only thing that really ticked me off, that's players' business. That's not my business, except for the fact that it makes me know that he will not be. I trust that your information is good because I know where your sources are.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust the information is good. That tells me that he will not be a part of the Astros next year. So I'm not worried. They can offer him a qualifying offer. It's for compensation purposes. What is interesting to me is that, you know, that he, it was almost immediate that Chandler Rome came out and said he's going to need Tommy John surgery. Chandler Rome, a sports writer, is not getting that. He's not going to say that out loud unless he got it from somebody in the building or related to Justin Verlander. He's not just going to say, well, that's Tommy John surgery. You don't do that as a beat writer for the Astros. You would literally burn every bridge imaginable. He would be taken off the beat. For him to say that meant he had that information. Justin Verlander and the Astros denied it, then waited several months, and then he had surgery, I want to say in October of that same year. Had he had it when he could have had it, even a month and a half, 2 months earlier, let's say he had it in mid-August, that might have put Justin Verlander back in contention to pitch this year.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know all that and what went into it. Obviously, he wanted to try to work it out before.
That's
neither here nor there. That's not why this is. I mean, maybe he could have been back. Yeah, you're right.
This is about
had
not
he
being
done
part
it earlier. There's a possibility he would be pitching right now for this team in the postseason.
If you're down with the boys, and if you're one of the and you're down with the team, then you would show up from time to time.
Just come
to a game. Come in the locker room, dap guys up. It's just a COVID protocol. Give me a break.
Trust me, he
could go and see every one of those
guys. Wear a mask, and he could go in there.
He could go to dinner with them over at Riel.
Yeah.
I see him from time to time.
Yeah.
He could do all that stuff.
Yes.
He could do all that stuff.
COVID protocols. Stop. He's Justin Verlander. He could have walked into. He's part of the team. He's getting paid. He got paid $66 million. He could have shown his face. He could have helped young pitchers. He could have encouraged the guys. He could have gone once a week, once a month for $66 million. You don't show up at all? Nothing? Nada? And then, let's pay homage to Justin Verlander. For what? For who? What did he do? I can't blame the players. I can't blame them.
I don't have a problem. I still love him for everything he did for the Astros when they won a World Series. I'm all on board with Justin for that. But this is player stuff. This is locker room stuff. Mm. And it's not my business, not anyone's business, but the players. But I trust that what you said is accurate because you know what? Those guys, that's a tight-knit group. It always has been a tight-knit group. And when you self-isolate from the clique and from the family for 2 years, instead of just coming and being part of them, just go to games, sit in a suite, come dap up the guys, text them, hey, man, I was noticing this. Hey, man, great beast effort from you, Lance McCullers, or whoever.
Yeah.
You know, just be part of it. And obviously, if they're telling him that they don't want him to be part of that first pitch, and then Crane
okayed it
as well.
And you don't think those guys know that Ben Verlander tweeted out, he was a rental here, he ain't coming back? All right, cool. Beat it. That's all right. You haven't been a part of it. You're not a part of it. He was a part of 17, and that'll always. And I literally love Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
That will never go away. But when he abandoned the team, I cannot blame the guys. I just can't. 858, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Allison Footer is going to join us on the other side right here. Don't you go anywhere. I've got to talk right now about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite, and I've been saying it. I need you to have a big job. If you've got a big renovation, or if you're building and you want Jeff Aronoff and his expertise with your countertops, with your cabinets, with your outdoor kitchen. You know, there's a lot of builders that just don't have a clue about what to do with an outdoor kitchen. If that's something that you want before you move into this new house, well, Jeff Aronoff can get that done. Or if you have a house and you don't have any kind of outdoor patio, you're thinking about a pool, he can do all the tile there. He can do all of your kitchen work outside. It's unbelievable what he can get done. If you have a business and you really, really need to upgrade, let's go. All you got to do is let Jeff Aronoff come over there, and he will take care of everything. He's not subcontracting it out. He is actually going to have his guys working, doing all the work and oversee it, and he'll be right there every step of the way for you. So if you're looking for that kind of service, all you got to do is give him a call, 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
ESPN.
97.5.